This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A federal prosecutor in a major terrorism case in Detroit has taken the rare step of suing Attorney General John Ashcroft, alleging the Justice Department interfered with the case, compromised the confidential informant, and exaggerated results in the war on terrorism. Assistant U.S. Attorney Richard Convertino of Detroit accused the Justice Department of gross mismanagement of the war on terrorism in a whistleblower lawsuit filed late Friday in federal court in Washington. The suit is the latest twist in the Bush administration's first major post-September 11th terrorism prosecution, which is now in danger of unraveling over allegations of prosecutorial misconduct. With Utah in the vanguard, about a dozen states are rebelling against George W. Bush's centerpiece education law, the No Child Left Behind Act, complaining it imposes costly new obligations without providing the money to carry them out. The Republican-controlled Utah House voted 64-8 last week not to comply with any provisions for which the federal government has not supplied enough money. The bill, which now goes to the Senate, represents the strongest position taken yet by lawmakers around the country. Many legislators are angry over what they see as a federal takeover of education that leaves states to pay the bill. Roadside bombs have claimed more American lives, killing three U.S. soldiers in separate attacks in Baghdad and Sunni Muslim areas to the north of the capital. At least six soldiers were injured in the attacks, one critically. In the biggest attack, one soldier from Task Force Iron Horse was killed and four were wounded in a roadside bombing in Bakuba. One of the wounded was critically injured, and the other three were in guarded condition, the military said. The latest deaths brought to 541 the number of Americans who have died since George W. Bush launched the Iraq War March 20th. Most of the casualties have occurred since Bush declared an end to combat on May 1st. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A Hawaii state senator's proposal going before a Department of Health committee this week would make it easier for animal lovers to dine out with the pets they say are like family. Senator Fred Hemmings, a Republican, wants to see state health rules eased to give restaurants the option of allowing dogs into outdoor seating areas. His request faces a vote on Thursday by the state's Advisory Council on Food Protection Practices. If it is adopted, Hawaii will join 21 other states with similar pet-friendly dining rules. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
If you think that Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, and gang are just not corporate enough, not right-wing enough, not bizarre enough, not nasty enough, then you might make a good member of the Club for Growth. This is the goofy group that recently ran a TV ad declaring that the moderately progressive Democrat, Howard Dean, should, quote, take his tax-hiking, government-expanding, sushi-eating, Volvo-driving, New York Times-reading, body-piercing, Hollywood-loving, left-wing freak show back to Vermont, where it belongs. Whew, that's a lot of voters to offend in one breath. Even a lot of Republicans eat sushi, drive Volvos, read the New York Times, live in Vermont, and go to Hollywood movies. But the Club for Growth won't cut you any slack for being a Republican. They're after ideological anti-government purity. For example, CFG hates Republicans who dare to question George W.'s tax giveaway to the rich, and they've singled out the maverick conservative Senator John McCain for retribution, saying they'll recruit a far-right winger to oppose him in this year's Republican primary. How loopy are they? CFG's founder, Steve Moore, wants to shut down the education, commerce, labor, and agriculture departments. He calls senior citizens, who weathered the Depression and fought World War II, the most selfish group in America today. And he's warned that CFG will work to defeat any Republican who supports any tax increase for any purpose, declaring, if you're a Republican, you aren't allowed to vote for taxes. They enthusiastically embrace George W., calling him Reagan's third term. Interesting. This smaller government clique, funded by Wall Street executives, embraces the two presidents who've done the most in the past 30 years to plunge America into a sea of red ink, increase the size of government, and expand the power of oppressive federal agencies to intrude into our private lives. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe that's what they mean by growth.
The look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us the phone number here, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937, or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. We have eight programs left after this evening. What, Kathy?
I was just going to say that email is only good for 10 more days.
The email is only good. Is your mic open?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the email is only good for 10 more days. We actually only have eight more programs, three more this week and five next week. So if you've been thinking about calling the program, do it before it's too late. For you right-wing trolls who are lurking around listening to the program, you're welcome to listen. Don't call because I hate you and you have nothing to say anyway. So, but you're welcome to sit back there and pick your noses and eat the boogers and listen. We know all about you guys. We really do. Got an email I want to share with you because we're going to talk about Bush trying to spin his lies. Again, he goes to was National Guard troops at Fort Polk, Louisiana today. Tries to justify the attack on Iraq. And some of the things he said were they're typically Bush. But before we do that, I'd like to have share with you a letter I got from a real veteran. Charles Metzger, disabled American veteran. I won't give his city here. But dear Mike, I'm a new listener to your show on Sirius Talk Left 143, and I love the way you tell it like it is. Blah, 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 blah. The airways have been monopolized for so long, and listeners have been bombarded with the lies of Limbaugh, Hannity, and O'Reilly that it will be difficult to turn things around. I appreciate your trying. I'm a former United States Air Force fighter pilot who spent more than 3 years flying combat missions during the Vietnam War. I flew the F-105, the largest single-engine, single-seat fighter ever built. It would carry as much ordnance as a B-17 and was capable of speeds more than twice the speed of sound. Our mission was to take the war to the heartland of the enemy, North Vietnam. They built some 800 F-105s, and more than 600 were shot down over there. We were losing half of our squadron every month. I logged more than 1,000 hours of combat flying time in my tours over there. I was hit twice, and on one occasion, while attacking a flak site, I was hit. I had 67 holes in the aircraft from exploding shells and shrapnel, still brought it home, and barely escaped with my life. I'm a life member of both the Disabled American Veterans and Veterans of Foreign Wars. I only tell you this because I want you to know that I have been there, done that, and know what I'm talking about. The claim, then, that Dumbia was a distinguished fighter pilot is not even close to accurate. They said that he had 300 hours in the F-102. 300 hours? Distinguished? It takes just about that many hours just to learn to fly a fighter. So if he only had 300 hours in the F-102, is it possible that he might not have completed F-102 school? Even if he did, he certainly didn't fly very much or very long after he was assigned to an operational guard unit, maybe 25, 50 at the very most, say 75 hours. That's less than 6 months in an operational unit, maybe less than three. All this conjecture is giving him the maximum benefit of the doubt, and as I said, it is even possible he didn't even get this far. The claims about his so-called distinguished service really piss me off. Because of his father's connections, he was able to avoid Vietnam. Because of his father's connections, he was able to avoid prosecution for AWOL and desertion. You can bet that Karl Rove and the gang are doctoring the records as we speak to reflect their claims of continuous honorable service. The Bush crime family is a threat to everything this country stands for. The bastard must be defeated in November. Keep up the good work. I hope you will let all your supporters who listen to you on Sirius know when you are back on the air again. Thank you. Charles Metzger, disabled American vet. Well, thank you, Charles. Now, that's a combat veteran. 1,000 hours of combat flying in his tours in Vietnam, hit twice, wounded, and on and on and on. Now let's hear from somebody who is not a combat veteran, somebody who ducked out of a Texas Air National Guard unit and went and hid his useless ass somewhere in Alabama or someplace. Here he is speaking to U.S. military personnel at Fort Polk, Louisiana. The nerve of this guy to actually stand there in front of men and women in uniform and speak is an outrage.
Former regime in Iraq also witnessed America's resolve to confront dangers before they fully materialize. My administration looked at the intelligence information and we saw a danger.
Oh, yeah.
Members of Congress looked at the same intelligence.
Yeah.
And they saw a danger.
A danger.
The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence.
Right.
And it saw a danger.
All right. And in the first place, the guy, obviously, this morning, they had him extremely valiumed up or elevilled up or whatever the hell he's taking. But now he says the former regime in Iraq witnessed America's resolve to confront dangers before they fully materialize. Well, so what? If we think Canada has weapons of mass destruction, which they do, some, are we supposed to preemptively strike them too? Who's next? China? Who? He says members of Congress looked at the same intelligence that his crappy criminal administration looked at. No, that's not true. They looked at what his criminal administration presented to the Congress. That's what they looked at. And, of course, they saw danger. Hell, I can scare all 535 members of Congress. You give me half an hour, and I can have them all piss in their pants. It'll all be lies, but I can still do it. And as far as the United Nations Security Council looking at the intelligence and seeing danger, no, George. They listened to your houseboy They listen to your house boy, Colin Powell's totally bogus report about mobile truck labs and weather balloons and missiles hidden in palm trees. And the men sitting there in uniform at Fort Polk gave him a hoo-ah. More lies. Here he is again.
We reached a reasonable conclusion that Saddam Hussein was a danger.
Was a danger.
We remembered his history.
With my daddy.
He waged aggressive wars against neighboring countries and aspired to dominate the Middle East.
With Rumsfeld.
He cultivated ties to terrorists.
Like my daddy.
He built weapons of mass destruction.
That my daddy gave him.
He used weapons of mass destruction against his own people.
That Rummy sold him.
He hid those weapons.
Where? In the palm trees? He waged aggressive wars against neighboring countries. Arguably, so have the Israelis. He cultivated ties to terrorists. Haven't we been down this road, you jackass? No, he didn't, according to your own investigators. He built weapons of mass destruction. Well, he may have, but they were destroyed in Gulf War I and in 1998 when Clinton sent God knows how many missiles into the country. And your claim that he used weapons of mass destruction against his own people. There's some disagreement about that, jackass. Some military experts, jackass, say that was missiles dropped by the Iranians. And if they were dropped by Saddam, it was chemicals sold to him by Rumsfeld and American and French and German and British chemical companies. When do we attack them? Oh, my God. Still trying any old lame excuse to justify his preemptive war. When in doubt, blame Clinton.
In 1998.
Ah.
The president.
Yeah.
And the Congress made it the policy of the United States.
Give me more Valium.
To change the regime in Iraq.
More.
In September of 2001.
Yes.
America made a decision.
About Iraq?
We will not live in the shadow of gathering threats.
No, dumbass. America made no such decision. You did. You did. You told the American people. You told the UN. You told the world. That Saddam was tied to 9-1-1. You rotten liar. You said he had weapons of mass destruction. You rotten liar. You said he had nuclear capabilities. You rotten liar. You and your housekeeper, Condoleezza Rice, even came up with visions of mushroom clouds. You rotten liar. And you fabricated connections to Al-Qaeda. You rotten liar. Just like you did today, addressing the troops at Fort Polk, Louisiana. You rotten, murderous liar. In the last one, Bush tries to pass him off as some kind of decisive defender of America. Hoping we'll forget the fact that we invaded a defenseless country that posed no threat to us whatsoever. And so far, 500 and what now? 40 American soldiers dead for the sake of Halliburton and cheap crude oil. And oh yeah, he tried to kill my dad. He tried to kill my dad. We'll play this for you right after this break. Every time I get in this, every time Kathy gives me sound bites of this phony bastard giving this canned speech, especially when he gives it in front of men and women in uniform, and especially when I get an email from a real combat veteran, somebody who really knows how vile and vicious and painful and destructive war is. And then I hear Bush stand here and talk like this. I want to break things. Rather than break things, let's just take a break, and and we'll come back and play the last one for you.
No, we have no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th. Burn down the brush. You got to turn up the heat. You got to look up. W's got a mission.
Yeah. W's got a plan. W's got a pistol. It's burning in his hand. Cause he's turning the world into one big Texas. What? Turning the world into one big Texas.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. He has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Is if we're going to put our troops in harm's way, they must have the very best.
24 past the hour. Now, last one, Bush disrespecting the uniform of the American serviceman once again, this time at Fort Polk, Louisiana. He disrespects it every time he stands in front of these people and talks to them. He's a disgrace. He's an absolute disgusting disgrace. But he tries here to pass himself off as some kind of decisive defender of America. You know, here it comes, the I've got big balls talk that he is so he's so good at doing. And then when the rubber hits the road, this little rabbit runs and hides. Right? We remember what happened on September 11th. We know what happens. By his own admission, I'm sure you have that soundbite somewhere, Kathy, where he said he was worried about himself. He was concerned about his own safety. Well, of course, you little coward. Here, Bush hopes we'll forget the fact that we invaded a defenseless country that posed absolutely no threat to us whatsoever, that 500-plus American soldiers in the process of that invasion are now dead. And, of course, Pappy Bush, this insane Freudian thing that's going on between George Sr. and George Jr. As they compete on and on and on for Grandmammy's love and affection and attention. Old white-haired Barbara Bush. I wish these people would work out their Greek Shakespearean drama somewhere else. It would save a lot of American lives. It would save Iraqi lives. It would save Afghan lives. And it would have saved 3,000-plus lives in this country on September 11, 2001, if these people would just exit stage left with their melodrama and go play somewhere else. Here he is.
In 2003, after 12 years of deception by Saddam Hussein,
more Valium.
He was given one final chance.
More Valium.
The UN Security Council demanded a full accounting of his weapons programs or face serious consequences.
Programs?
Saddam Hussein chose defiance.
How did he do that?
And we had a choice of our own.
Yeah.
Either take the word of a madman.
That would be you.
Or take action to defend America and the world.
Uh-huh.
Faced with that choice.
There was no choice.
I will defend America every time.
There he is with the big balls statement. Look at me! Do you remember me on the deck of that carrier? Did you see my crotch? Did you see the pounding, pulsating mound that was there? I'm George Bush. I'm a man. I'm a killer. When I'm faced with what was the choice? Oh, yeah. Either take the word of a madman or take action to defend America and the world. Jesus, George, don't stop there. How about the solar system? How about the galaxy? What is it you're defending us against, you freak? Your own fantasies? Your own psychopathic dreams? Your daddy? This never-ending struggle for your mother's affection between you and the old man? Jesus, will you work it out somewhere else? Please! The UN Security Council demanded a full accounting of its weapons programs, you jackass. They were getting it. Saddam Hussein chose defiance. How? He's as crazy as you are. Both of you. Shame on you, George. When you die and go to your Christian hell, well, I'm sure there'll be some surprises waiting for you. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people?
Does not stand to salute our president. Because in these times we must fall in line. There's no room for dissent. And I support the troops, my friend, so I drive an SUV. In honor of those brave young soldiers. Died to give the right to me. You know gasoline ain't free.
Then Didn't think you could still get Union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new report shines some light on the business of selling fish and coral for home aquariums. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The United Nations Environment Program has conducted a comprehensive study of the worldwide trade in aquarium fish and other marine creatures. The report is called From Ocean to Aquarium, and the UN says it's the first of its kind. The report gives estimates of how many fish are caught and sold, and which species are most popular, and how they're shipped to market. Colette Wabnitz is a marine biologist, and she worked on the report. Wabnitz says the global trade in fish, coral, and other marine animals is worth as much as $300 million a year. Two of the most popular species are clown anemone fish and blue-green damselfish, but the business really covers more than 2,000 different species. Wabnitz says most aquarium fish come from Southeast Asia, and a lot are collected in ways that destroy the coral reefs where they live. In some cases, fishermen use explosives or cyanide to stun fish and bring them to the surface. Wabnitz says a lot of fish suffer when they're shipped to market, and a large percentage die in the midst of transport.
If the transport is really long, and then they sit around for ages at different airports, then stress is going to be quite high, and then the oxygen concentrations is going to decrease, so the fish are going to be even more stressed, and they can die.
Wabnitz says there is some good news. She says more and more people in the aquarium fish business are adopting practices that are better for the environment and better for fish. A group called the Marine Aquarium Council now certifies fish collectors who do not harm reefs and who do follow safe shipping and handling practices. Wabnitz encourages aquarium owners who are shopping for fish to look for the certification from the Marine Aquarium Council. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Kathy said, don't you think you went over a little over the top with that pulsating mound in your crotch? No, this guy is a phony. This guy uses the accoutrement, the images, the props of a real manly warrior, and he is a chicken ass coward who has been bailed out of every single situation he has ever gotten into. Everyone required to bail out in public life, private life, war, death, destruction. This guy is an abject failure, and it infuriates me to see him go in front of military people. I don't care if they are active duty, some of these young people in the service, or if they're retired, or if they're vets, what have you. Now, David sent this to me. NBC reported today that, quote, most soldiers interviewed at Fort Polk declined to offer their opinions on the president's service, end quote. David writes, I think this is an incredible thing. Neutral support from the group most dependable for blind allegiance. Yeah. I don't understand. I don't. How active duty military personnel, especially guardsmen and reservists, who did not sign up to fight a hot war halfway around the world. They signed up for the benefits available because of this crappy economy. They signed up because possibly, I certainly don't try to diminish this, a sense of patriotism, a sense of wanting to serve their country in their country. And because of Bush's greed and the insanity of this PNAC crowd and Cheney and the rest of these monsters, we are losing men and women who are not combat ready. For Christ's sake, they're not. Ask any regular Army person who has spent 2 or 3 years in and has been over there with the guardsmen and the reservists. I'm not knocking them as people. But talk to regular Army and they will tell you this is a turkey shoot. These people don't know what they're doing. It's infuriating. And I don't, you know, sometimes I don't know how, I literally don't know how to handle it. I just don't, because Bush steals somebody else's courage. He steals somebody else's dedication to military discipline or military principles. He steals somebody else's possibly misdirected sense of patriotism, but he steals it nonetheless and uses it. And these brain dead Christian fundamentalists up here, out here, who would kill quicker than they would ask for Jesus' blessing. I mean, they're all psychopathic murderers, every single one of them. And their little bobbleheads, they just go, yep, yep, yep. Boy, I'm sure I'm glad George Bush is president. Yep, yep, yep. He's a man of Christ. Yep, 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 yep. You know, he's born again. Yep, yep, yep. You know, I really like him. Yeah, yeah. Jesus would find favor on him. Hey, have you seen Mel Gibson's new movie? Damn Jews, boy. Puts it right where it belongs. God. I hate these people. All right, I see we're getting folks that have been holding on way too long. I don't want this to happen again tonight, so let's get to the phone calls here. Al is calling from Burbank, California. Hey, Al.
Hey, Mike. Great to talk to you.
My pleasure, sir.
Been enjoying your excellent program.
Well,
like
thank
playing
you.
Back all the sound bites from the administration with your accurate and funny commentary.
Yeah, right.
Incidentally, you got in a number of crystal clear zingers when you appeared on the Fox show this past weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't very difficult. It's not difficult once so-called liberals, of which I am one, make a decision that they're not going to sit there like sheep, like an Alan Combs or other people whose names I won't name, and just sit there and let these right-wingers roll over them. I've had enough of that crap.
You know, I'm interested in magic, and you know, a good magician, he can do the same trick over and over again, and you go, how did he did it? And it looks really convincing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people psychologically, they respond to certain skills that other people have, but you can't figure out how they do that.
Right.
And I'm interested in that because, like, take for example this reelection campaign. They're saying it's going to cost $200 million. Personally, I think it's going to be double that. They're hiding some of the costs. You can think of the re-election campaign of Bush as sort of like the cost of the movie production, like, say, the film Titanic. I think it cost about that much money.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the actual Titanic did sink, so maybe money can't necessarily make a cast iron boat float. But
yeah.
In the case of Titanic, the movie, it flew. The movie didn't sink. And this Bush movie production, better known as his re-election campaign, and at the cost of probably several Titanic movies, could very well be another blockbuster, or perhaps I should say a ball breaker for America. He stands a very real, a chance still of being reelected, just the same way he got his Iraq war push through with all the lies, from his fascist movie production team.
I think you're right. And the only thing that's going to prevent it is a massive turnout. What was the turnout last presidential election? 52-53% of eligible voters. To hell with blaming Ralph Nader. To hell with blaming a poor campaign run by Al Gore. To hell with blaming the Supreme Court. To hell with all of it. Had Americans turned out 85, 90, 95, 98% to vote, Bush would have been sent back to Texas where he could, get in bed with Governor Rick Perry, and the two of them could talk about whose is bigger. But, that's not what happened. So if Americans don't get up off their butts this November 2nd and go vote, and I'm talking about Democrats. I couldn't care less about Republicans. Screw them. But if Democrats don't get up and go vote, then this phony will have another 4 years, and then that's the end of representative government in this country. That's the end of it.
We may have to have more like a landslide of people voting, because with the potential for rigging voting
that's
machines,
right,
and all the other skullduggery they're planning right now.
That's right.
I mean, this is I agree with you 100%. This is a criminal class here that's carrying out this charade. The problem is that it's working for a lot of people, because...
Oh, no.
I mean, look how Howard Dean disappeared.
Unbelievable. I just, it's astonishing to me that somebody who was so far ahead, I think the kiss of death came, I don't know what program he was on, it was one of the cable channels, or no, I guess it was on ABC, where he made the statement, or NBC's Meet the Press, where he made the statement that if he were elected, he would try to break up some of these media monopolies.
I think that was it, yeah.
Yeah, and which anyone with a conscience, anyone with a sense of what's right and what's wrong would say the same thing. But the media companies then just beat the living Christ out of him.
I noticed right after he said that, Mort Kondracki on Fox News special report with Brit Hume started referring to the people supporting Dean as Deaniacs.
Yeah.
You know, things like that started creeping in. You have to wonder what kind of script. I mean, I don't know where it's coming from, but it's coming from somewhere.
It is indeed. Listen, Al, thanks for calling. This is your first time checking
in. It is, and I wish I had discovered your program about 2 years ago, and I might have preserved my sanity a little bit.
Well, we've got...
great to hear you ranting about things that matter.
We've got 8 shows left, so I'll stay tuned.
Well, right? Good luck for your future there.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Al. Appreciate it very much. Joe is calling from Cypress Springs, Texas, one of our NAM vets. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Oh, can't complain.
Good.
I just weighed it up, it's down, and just like Bush is a hero, and Max Clavin is a slime, and
right.
Kerry is a... Well, you know what's going
on. Yeah, Kerry's an anti-war radical. All the bastard wants is peace.
It's a bunch of bull. It makes me so sick. But it looks like Vietnam's coming back, you know.
It never. I don't think it ever went away, Joe.
I don't think it really ever has. No. I think it keeps coming back.
It hasn't gone away. It's not going to go away.
You know, it's Blair country. And I heard from Joel, I've listened to the Young Turks today, and they was wanting to. I said, well, they wasn't old enough to remember how our country was split back then.
Right.
And really, I wasn't aware of it, really, at the time, you know, because I was involved in on. I didn't pay no attention to politics. I was just, I was doing my thing, drinking and on women and whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I got drafted and I went. You know, I didn't know nothing about the war or anything. You know?
Right.
Well, I really didn't care. You know, I just thought that's what the government. You know, I trusted our government. You know?
Sure, sure.
You know, that's the way I was raised. But I just, Lord, did we learn though? You know. Yeah.
Well, I was raised the same way, Joe.
Yeah.
I was raised to trust him too. And did up until probably up until the about 63, and then couldn't do it anymore.
What has poor Max Cleveland done to Ann Coulter? How come he's got into this mess?
Max Cleveland has done nothing to Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter is I hate to use sexist terms, but she's just a class A bitch. She is. I don't know. I've never heard someone like her. And I think what she does, the men, the white men on the Flying Monkey Right, they love Ann Coulter because they love to see a woman get down in the gutter and roll around in the filth and the puke and the excrement. They love it. Right-wing men love to see women debase themselves. Right-wing men have no respect for women whatsoever. So the gamier, the nastier, the uglier a woman can get in her rhetoric or in her actions, the more these white right-wingers, males, love it. So they encourage her, they protect her, they make sure she has television gigs, they make sure she has a publisher to handle her books, they make sure that she has an outlet for her columns. And when a real, honest-to-God male who took a bad hit in Vietnam, like Max Cleland, pops up for Ann Coulter to kick around, I'll tell you, it makes me almost murderous, Joe. You know, I know I have a reputation of being, shooting off like a madman, but something like that, an Ann Coulter with the backing of these cowardly, right-wing, pasty-faced bastards who egg her on, an Ann Coulter attacking someone like Max Cleland, to me, is so far beyond the pale. I don't know how to respond. I don't know how to react. If I were a non-vet like you, I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I could handle it.
Well, you know, I go to group.
Right.
BDS group.
Right.
And, we get in there and we all talk about who's on there.
Well, what are people in your group that are dealing with?
I hadn't been since all this broke. I hadn't been about 3 weeks.
Well, if you go back before,
I'm going this week.
Okay, if you go before I'm off the air, let me know what PTSD people dealing with PTSD, what they think about Ann Coulter and her comments about a man who suffered horribly. I can't even imagine, Joe. I don't know what your injuries were. I can't imagine going over there and coming back with one arm, you know, leaving an arm and two legs there, and then having some psychopathic blonde bitch like this talking about how it could have happened to me stateside. It doesn't matter. I'd go berserk. I couldn't handle it. I literally couldn't handle it. So do me a favor. Let me know what people in your group say about the comments she's made.
I'll bring it up because all of us have everybody on a hit list.
Yeah, right. I understand.
I may not we can go through with it.
right.
But, you know, that's what
I'm Paul Glastras, editor of The Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read The Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying. And we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read The Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy The Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, The Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
One looks for signs and portents wherever one can find them, right? Not that this is a harbinger of November 2nd coming, but Peter just sent this to me. It's from talkingpointsmemo.com. It says, oh, how sweet it is. We've been telling you for some time about the 6th Congressional District special election in Kentucky pitting former State Attorney General Ben Chandler against Alice Kerr, or Kerr, K-E-R-R, Alice Kerr. This was the first federal election of the 2004 cycle. Kerr based her campaign almost exclusively on her strong support for the Bush agenda. And the AP is now reporting that Chandler has beaten Kerr decisively. That marks the first time since 1991 that a Democrat has won a Republican seat in a special election. I guess they mean in Kentucky. Well, that is, thanks, Peter. That's very interesting. I'm sure Karl Rove, upon hearing about this, I don't know, what does Karl Rove do when he's upset? Does he torture another baby puppy? You didn't know about that? Oh, my God, it was reported on Drudge, so it has to be true. Karl Rove goes to animal shelters in the D.C. area, Northern Virginia, actually, and gets puppies and takes them home to the White House, his office. And when there's a problem he doesn't like and he can't control it, he gets one of the puppies out and breaks its legs. And what, Kathy? It was on Drudge. It's not true?
That was the John Kerry affair.
Well, that's true, too, isn't it? Chris is calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mr. Malloy, I think you've got a problem, man. I got to wonder why. Why would you go on Fox News unless you, I mean, you had to have known. You had to have known. You just went on about white male right-wingers, and you're sitting there
with
two of them.
Well, at first I said no. When Kathy said she had been called by the producer, production assistant, I said no, and she kind of, you know, Kathy, who is my producer, is also my wife, and she kind of snickered, and all of a sudden I felt my manhood being challenged. So, you know, and you can't back down in front of, not that she was saying, well, aren't you going to go on that program and kick their butts, Mike, and defend womanhood? You know, but hey, hold on. I'll come back to you in a second, Chris. We got to take a break here. I don't think that, oops, I cut him off. Chris, call back. I don't think that's what you were doing, were you? Quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. John Curry accused George W. Bush of running an extreme radical administration as Wisconsin Democrats decided Tuesday whether to support his front-running campaign or help his rival stay in the race for their party's nomination for president. Polls showed Curry well ahead of Howard Dean and John Edwards in the contest for Wisconsin's 72 delegates. Curry told the audience at a rally Tuesday morning that Bush had not been an advocate for the firefighters, police, and other emergency workers with whom he stood and mourned after the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. In a statement released by the campaign, Curry criticized Bush on a different front for not keeping his promises to men and women in the military. He pledged to improve their health care, housing, pay, and equipment. Roadside bombs have claimed more American lives, killing three U.S. soldiers in separate attacks in Baghdad and Sunni Muslim areas to the north of the capital. At least six soldiers were injured in the attacks, one critically. In the biggest attack, one soldier from Task Force Iron Horse was killed and four were wounded in a roadside bombing in Bakuba. One of the wounded was critically injured and the other three were in guarded condition, the military said. The latest deaths brought to 541 the number of Americans who have died since George W. Bush launched the Iraq War March 20th. Most of the casualties have occurred since Bush declared an end to combat on May 1st. A federal prosecutor in a major terrorism case in Detroit has taken the rare step of suing Attorney General John Ashcroft, alleging the Justice Department interfered with the case, compromised the confidential informant, and exaggerated results in the war on terrorism. Assistant U.S. Attorney Richard Convertino of Detroit accused the Justice Department of gross mismanagement of the war on terrorism in a whistleblower lawsuit filed late Friday in federal court in Washington. The suit is the latest twist in the Bush administration's first major post-September 11th terrorism prosecution, which is now in danger of unraveling over allegations of prosecutorial misconduct. More after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A truck carrying raspberry syrup to a jam factory sprang a leak that left a 25-mile sticky trail on a highway, German police said on Tuesday. A police spokesman in the Bavarian town of Schwabach said the truck lost about a ton of syrup. Police said improper loading had caused a steel container to break. After stopping the truck and plugging the container, police sent the driver on his way to Aachen, 280 miles down the road. The fire department cleaned up the slick, causing disruption to motorists. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller, New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you think that Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, and gang are just not corporate enough, not right-wing enough, not bizarre enough, not nasty enough, then you might make a good member of the Club for Growth. This is the goofy group that recently ran a TV ad declaring that the moderately progressive Democrat, Howard Dean, should, quote, take his tax-hiking, government-expanding, sushi-eating, Volvo-driving, New York Times-reading, body-piercing, Hollywood-loving, left-wing freak show back to Vermont, where it belongs. Whew, that's a lot of voters to offend in one breath. Even a lot of Republicans eat sushi, drive Volvos, read the New York Times, live in Vermont, and go to Hollywood movies. But the Club for Growth won't cut you any slack for being a Republican. They're after ideological anti-government purity. For example, CFG hates Republicans who dare to question George W.'s tax giveaway to the rich, and they've singled out the maverick conservative Senator John McCain for retribution, saying they'll recruit a far-right winger to oppose him in this year's Republican primary. How loopy are they? CFG's founder, Steve Moore, wants to shut down the education, commerce, labor, and agriculture departments. He calls senior citizens, who weathered the Depression and fought World War II, the most selfish group in America today. And he's warned that CFG will work to defeat any Republican who supports any tax increase for any purpose, declaring, if you're a Republican, you aren't allowed to vote for taxes. They enthusiastically embrace George W., calling him Reagan's third term. Interesting. This smaller government clique, funded by Wall Street executives, embraces the two presidents who've done the most in the past 30 years to plunge America into a sea of red ink, increase the size of government, and expand the power of oppressive federal agencies to intrude into our private lives. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe that's what they mean by growth.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. I disconnected Chris in St. Pete. I'm sorry, Chris, if you're still listening. Well, see, the hold button and the off button are right next to each other. And, you know, I've gotten some requests about the video of Fox and John Kasich and that little pasty-faced Hugh Hewitt and me. From Saturday night. It's up at my website. Go to MikeMalloy.com and click on the gallery page, and it's there. And if you can, you know, if you want to download it and send it to a friend, go ahead. It's MikeMalloy.com, and then just click on the gallery page, and you'll find it. Thanks. Our webmaster, Mark Marshall, put that up for us today. He was busy last night doing something, I don't know, saving the world or whatever Mark does in his spare time. He's a good guy, Mark. We met him in New York when we were up there for, I just got to say this, Kathy. We met him in New York when we were up there for, what was it, the Talkers Magazine thingy. And he came into the city and we hung out for a little while that afternoon. He was, I mean, this guy is strictly New York. He looked a little bit like a vampire, swooping down in, all dressed. Didn't he have on the flowing and stuff and shiny pate and the piercing eyes? And he's got that voice like, "Hello, Mike." Every time he calls me, "Hello, Mike. This is Mark Martin." Yeah, like, who else could it be with a voice like that? You know. Anyway. Mark put that up for us, so it's there. Those of you who are looking for the video of Fox News and moi, it's there. Very quickly here, before we go back to your calls, our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, in reference to Bush making those statements in front of the soldiers today, National Guardsmen and women who are about to be shipped out to go die for this bastard, Chris emails, in 1998, the president decided to make it the policy of the U.S. to change a regime in Iraq, says Manor Monkey. But what he doesn't add, Chris writes, and with good reason, is that the policy of regime change was not a policy of unilateralist aggression. It was a policy, misguided and failed, of starving the people of Iraq of food, medicine, and medicinal equipment, and of clean water. It failed. It caused worldwide hatred for the U.S. to increase, but regime change by aggressive invasion was not the policy of, quote, the president in 1998, end quote, as Bush puts it. That was the creation of the thugs in your administration, Monkey Boy. Go ask Rummy and Wolfowitz and Pearl and Cheney about the letter they sent Clinton. A letter that he ignored because he knew what the consequences were for undertaking the actions they outlined. But better than that, Chris writes, go and ask your daddy, George, why he didn't have a policy of regime change in Iraq. Go ask daddy why he didn't order troops to roll into Baghdad and oust Hussein. And, Chris writes, I'll bet you your last year's salary, dummy, that he'll tell you that it's because he knew that exactly what our soldiers are experiencing right now is exactly what would have happened in 1991. Of course, that obscures one of the other reasons he didn't have troops roll into Baghdad, because he knew that he'd either have to kill Hussein or never bring him to justice. the same quandary you find yourself in right now. Because when and if Hussein ever gets his day in court, his lawyers, provided they're not paid directly from the crime family's coffers, his lawyers will most surely raise the fact that Daddy Bush supported Hussein in his decade-long war against Iraq, and that he, Daddy Bush, gave the green light to invade Kuwait. His lawyers, Saddam's, will most surely raise the fact that the U.S. provided weapons of mass destruction to Hussein, and that when he used them against the Kurds, the U.S. military stood to the side and allowed it. How stupid, then, can one jackass be? I guess Chris's last question there is in reference to Mr. Bush. And from the French news agency, former U.N. Chief Weapons Inspector Hans Blix said on Spanish radio Monday that at no point had he ever said that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. He was speaking on Spanish radio and was responding to a question about statements by the Spanish government, which based its justification, like the U.S. and U.K., for supporting the war in Iraq on U.N. claims that Iraq possessed the weapons. But you see, the U.N., under Hans Blix's, the chief weapons inspector, never said that. Blix stressed that nowhere in his report had it contained such a claim. He said that his team's last report had constantly underscored that as far as biological or chemical weapons or missiles were concerned, there were, shall we say, many question marks. Yeah, well, apparently, I've gotten a couple of emails now from people in Kentucky who are saying that the special election held on the one side, a Democrat, the other side, a Republican, who based her campaign strictly on supporting Bush, she got her ass handed to her. Boy, I hope that is, hope that means something. Now, also, before we go back to your calls, a couple of people have sent this to me. This was released yesterday. The Family Steering Committee statement and questions regarding the 911 Commission interview with President Bush. Now, the Family Steering Committee, these are the families of people who died in the 911 attack on this country. The Family Steering Committee believes that President Bush should provide sworn public testimony to the full 10-member panel of the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States. Collectively, the commissioners are responsible for fulfilling the congressional mandate. Therefore, each commissioner must have full access to the testimony of all individuals and the critical information that will enable informed decisions and recommendations. Now, what they're referring to here in that preamble is Bush saying, oh, I might go talk to him. The steering committee says, before an audience of the American people, the commission must ask President Bush in sworn testimony the following questions. One. As Commander-in-Chief on the morning of 9-1-1, why didn't you return immediately to Washington, D.C. or the National Military Command Center once you became aware that America was under attack? At specifically what time did you become aware that America was under attack? Who informed you of this fact? Two. On the morning of 9-1-1, who was in charge of our country while you were away from the National Military Command Center? Were you informed or consulted about all decisions made in your absence? Three. What defensive action did you personally order to protect our nation during the crisis on September 11th? What time were these orders given and to whom? What orders were carried out? What was the result of such orders? Were any such orders not carried out? Four. In your opinion, why was our nation so utterly unprepared for an attack on our own soil? Five. U.S. Navy Captain Deborah Lauer, the director of the White House Situation Room, informed you of the first airliner hitting Tower 1 of the World Trade Center before you entered the Emma E. Booker Elementary School in Sarasota, Florida. Please explain the reason why you decided to continue with the scheduled classroom visit 15 minutes after learning the first hijacked airliner had hit the World Trade Center. Six. Is it normal procedure for the director of the White House Situation Room to travel with you? If so, please cite any prior examples of when this occurred. And if not normal procedure, as what happened on September 11th, please explain the circumstances that led to the director of the White House Situation Room being asked to accompany you to Florida during the week of September 11th, 2001. 7. What plan of action caused you to remain seated after Andrew Card informed you that a second airliner had hit the second tower of the World Trade Center and America was clearly under attack? Approximately how long did you remain in the classroom after Card's message? 8. At what time were you made aware that other planes were hijacked in addition to Flight 11 and Flight 175? Who notified you? What was then your course of action as Commander-in-Chief of the United States? 9. Beginning with the transition period between the Clinton administration and your own, and ending on 9/11/2001, specifically, what information, either verbal or written, about terrorists, possible attacks, and targets did you receive from any source? This would include briefings or communications from outgoing Clinton officials, CIA, FBI, NSA, Department of Defense, and other intelligence agencies, foreign intelligence, governments, dignitaries, envoys, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, former counterterrorism czar Richard Clark. 10. Specifically, what did you learn from the August 6, 2001 President's Daily Briefing Report about the terrorist threat that was facing our nation? Did you request any follow-up action to take place? Did you request any further report be developed and or prepared? 11. As Commander-in-Chief, from May 1, 2001 until September 11, 2001, did you receive any information from any intelligence agency official or agent that Osama bin Laden was planning to attack this nation on its own soil, using airplanes as weapons, targeting New York City landmarks during the week of September 11, 2001, or on the actual day of September 11, 2001? There are 9 more questions right after this break. In every session now, cause America's been took. It's plain to see the oldest trick in the book is making enemies. A phony evil so the government can do its dirt and take away your freedom, lock and load, getting searched. Oil, blood, money make these killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying never told. It's all a part of playing God, so you think we need them. While being Ashcroft, take away your rights to freedom. Bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, cause it's major. What would you do?
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all 4 burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chops or chow mein, young one, two for when you.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday afternoon, I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday, from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, on the IE America Radio Network.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower the TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. I was sitting in the classroom, and Andy Card, my chief of staff, who was sitting over here, walked in and said, a second plane has hit the tower. America's under attack.
You're a liar. You're a liar, Bush. You're an absolute liar. Back to the questions that the Family Steering Committee, families of those people who died in this country on September 11, 2001, want George W. Bush to answer in a public forum. You've heard the first group. Let me go on. Your schedule for September 11, 2001 was in the public domain since September 7, 2001. The Emma E. Booker School is only 5 miles from the Bradenton Airport, so you, and therefore the children in the classroom, might have been a target for the terrorists on 911. What was the intention of the Secret Service in allowing you to remain in the Emma E. Booker Elementary School, even though they were aware America was under attack? 15. Please explain why you remained at the Sarasota, Florida Elementary School for a press conference after you had finished listening to the children read, when as a terrorist target, your presence potentially jeopardized the lives of the children. 16. What was the purpose of the several stops of Air Force One on September 11th? Was Air Force One at any time during the day of September 11th a target of the terrorists? Was Air Force One's code ever breached on September 11th? 17. Was there a reason for Air Force One lifting off without a military escort, even after ample time had elapsed to allow military jets to arrive? 18. What prompted your refusal to release the information regarding foreign sponsorship of the terrorists, as illustrated in the inaccessible 28 redacted pages in the Joint Intelligence Committee inquiry report, What actions have you personally taken since 9/11 to thwart foreign sponsorship of terrorism? 19. Who approved the flight of the bin Laden family out of the United States when all commercial flights were grounded, when there was time for only minimal questioning by the FBI, and especially when two of those same individuals had links to WAMY, a charity suspected of funding terrorism? Why were bin Laden family members granted that special privilege, a privilege not available to American families whose loved ones were killed on 9/11? 20. Please explain why no one in any level of our government has yet been held accountable for the countless failures leading up to and on 9/11. 21. Please comment on the fact that Osama bin Laden's profile on the FBI's 10 Most Wanted Fugitives poster does not include the 9/11 attacks. To your knowledge, when was the last time any agent of our government had contact with Osama bin Laden? If prior to 9/11, specifically what was the date of that contact and what was the context of said meeting? 22. Do you continue to maintain that Saddam Hussein was linked to al-Qaeda? What proof do you have of any connection between al-Qaeda and the Hussein regime? And 23. Which individuals, governments, agencies, institutions, or groups may have benefited from the attacks of 9/11. Please state specifically how you think they have benefited. Now, these are questions that this murderous little bastard will never ask or answer because they will never be asked of him. These are questions that should be asked, but each one of these questions almost contains an answer within the question. It is very obvious to me, and perhaps it was to you too, listening to the way the questions were phrased, that a supposition is included in each one of the answers, that this lying thug and his cohort of criminals knew what was going to happen on September 11th, planned their responses, allowed it to occur.
You're just a Coca-Cola cowboy.
I'm going to find those who evildoers.
Like it was Texas. And you taught me how to say I just don't.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new report shines some light on the business of selling fish and coral for home aquariums. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The United Nations Environment Program has conducted a comprehensive study of the worldwide trade in aquarium fish and other marine creatures. The report is called From Ocean to Aquarium, and the UN says it's the first of its kind. The report gives estimates of how many fish are caught and sold, and which species are most popular, and how they're shipped to market. Colette Wabnitz is a marine biologist, and she worked on the report. Wabnitz says the global trade in fish, coral, and other marine animals is worth as much as $300 million a year. Two of the most popular species are clown anemone fish and blue-green damselfish, but the business really covers more than 2,000 different species. Wabnitz says most aquarium fish come from Southeast Asia, and a lot are collected in ways that destroy the coral reefs where they live. In some cases, fishermen use explosives or cyanide to stun fish and bring them to the surface. Wabnitz says a lot of fish suffer when they're shipped to market, and a large percentage die in the midst of transport.
If the transport is really long, and then they sit around for ages at different airports, then stress is going to be quite high, and then the oxygen concentrations is going to decrease, so the fish are going to be even more stressed, and they can die.
Webnitz says there is some good news. She says more and more people in the aquarium fish business are adopting practices that are better for the environment and better for fish. A group called the Marine Aquarium Council now certifies fish collectors who do not harm reefs and who do follow safe shipping and handling practices. Webnitz encourages aquarium owners who are shopping for fish to look for the certification from the Marine Aquarium Council. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Just got an email from our webmaster, Mark. In response to a couple of people who have emailed in and said, Mike, at your website, all we're getting is the audio file of the appearance on Fox. And apparently, either I or wherever Mark captured that URL, it is only the audio and not the audio video, which we will correct momentarily. So at some point this evening, as soon as we get the right URL to Mark, he'll put it up. Now, I have to tell you, if you don't have dial-up, if you do have dial up and you go to download it, it'll take you forever. We have dial up here and it's horrifying. We've got broadband at home for obvious reasons, but so if you're using a dial up modem and you go to download it, how long do you think it'll take, Kathy? At least an hour. Okay. All right. The 22 or 23 questions that I just read from the Families Organization, I will post that at my website tonight, MikeMalloy.com, on the front page, because also a lot of folks are asking for these. It's the Family Steering Committee statement and questions regarding the 911 Commission interview with Bush. If you don't want to wait, go to truthout.org right now. It'll be there, truthout.org. I'm not sure. You'll find it. The Family Steering Committee statement. But I will publish the URL, the absolute URL tonight. Okay. All right. Where are we? Well, when in doubt, talk with Marcelo. Marcelo, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be on your show again.
Yeah, welcome. My pleasure.
Okay. I'm really pissed off. I think I was watching CNN, last night.
Yeah.
And there's a show called Exporting America.
Exporting America?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I generally agree that I think NAFTA is a horrible thing. Free
right.
trade is a joke.
Right.
But the guy said something that really pissed me off.
And that was
big white guy. He said that illegal immigration is costing hard work American families millions of jobs in the United States, and they bring disease, and they increase the sexual crimes.
What?
That's what I said.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. And I don't understand. Why do so many Americans believe that because they were born here, they have more right to live here than people who take a huge chance and leave everything they know to have the same quality of life that Americans do? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know how to – let me try to answer that, Marcelo. I don't know how to answer it. There has always been attitude in this country between native-born and immigrant, even going back. I don't know if you saw the movie Gangs of New York, which was set in the 1840s and 1850s. Kathy, is that right? 1830s, 1840s, 1850s, just prior to the Civil War here. And even going back to the gangs in New York, where native-born Irish were willing to kill Irish immigrants and vice versa. My grandfather was an Italian immigrant, and he was dark because he was Italian. And his five kids, among whom my mother, who was the oldest, they were dark-skinned. They suffered an awful lot of prejudice, bigotry, because it was in the 20s and 30s. It was around the time of the trial of Sacco and Vanzetti, Italian anarchy, anarchist attitudes were prevalent. There was a rising fear of socialism and communism. So there has always been this attitude of native-born Americans against immigrants. Now, it's like asking me a question about how do you solve racism? How do you solve homophobia? How do you? I don't have a clue, Marcelo. I don't know what to say. And I mention that it goes back to the 1830s, 1840s, just to give you an historical sense. Now, I would imagine that when the first whites showed up in this country, the native-born indigenous people here probably freaked out too, because all of a sudden these people show up with what did they call them? Thunder sticks and fire water and horses and you know, it must have been horrifying. But I don't know what to tell you, Marcelo.
Oh, I think they had more life because they were killing them, you know.
Well, yeah, but native born as opposed to foreign born immigrants, legal or illegal, it really doesn't matter. You can ask people whose Jewish parents came here, whose Italian parents came here, whose Irish parents came here, and you'll hear the same thing. They were treated like dogs.
Yeah, but I'm talking about rights, legal rights, and when you talk about legal rights, the difference between being legal and illegal is very big here.
Right.
You know that.
Right.
Now, I think you remember. I told you I'm Brazilian. I am here in international, in a visa student.
Say it again.
And I'm here in an F1 visa student.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, and so I know that stuff. And the difference between illegal and illegal immigrants in this country, in more than 95% of the case, is money. If you have money, you can stay in the country. You can go to a college,
right,
and you are able to stay here.
Right.
And you can't work. So
well, I don't have any answers for you, Marcelo. I hear what you're saying. There's just nothing I can say. Yes, you're right about the money. You're right about the weirdness of the laws. However, wouldn't you agree that any country, any country on the planet, has laws that pertain to their citizens that are different from laws that pertain to illegal immigrants? Now, I'm not talking about their constitutional laws, their bedrock laws. Just because somebody is illegal in this country, they still have the same rights of the United States Constitution, allegedly. Now, I realize that that's not always the case. But I don't know how to answer you, Marcelo. We can talk about this and talk about this, but I don't have an answer.
My point is just that we are all people. There shouldn't be any law against that. We are all the same. We are all human beings. There shouldn't be any laws against that.
Well, sure, that's true. But it's never been that way in this country. It's never been that way on the planet. You know that yourself. People have slaughtered each other because they happen to be of a different tribe. People that live within the confines of the same geographical confines of a country or a landmass have slaughtered each other, eaten each other, destroyed each other. So, sure, I mean...
There are countries who welcome immigrants, you know?
Well, sure there are.
More than the United States is a country of immigrants, but I don't think you know that. Maybe you do. Brazil has more immigrants than the United States does.
I understand.
And, you know, we don't see difference between immigrants and non-immigrants because everybody came from other countries. Now, the same thing is true here.
Yeah.
But you have this huge difference in laws.
Marcelo, I don't get it either. That's all I can say. I appreciate you checking in, but I want to move on because we're just going round and round in circles here. I appreciate what you're saying. I don't have a rational or coherent answer for you because the policies of the United States or the UK or India or China or Germany or Russia are not rational or coherent. Every country has weird immigration laws. If the immigration laws in this country are weirder than, say, the immigration laws in some other country, okay, that wouldn't surprise me. But I don't know what to tell you, my friend. I just don't. So I know that's a cop out. But I don't have no idea. I have no idea. What else we got here? Oh, okay. Brian is calling from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
What do you think the extent of media control is? I mean, can we go to say it's conspiracy theory that, oh my God, they have control?
Well, what do you think?
I think it's pretty close.
Yeah.
60% of the American people right now believe that Iraq had connections to Al Qaeda.
Right.
60%, like, hello, there are no connections. So my thing is, I think that the other 40%, we need to be raising hell because you need to wake these people up. You need to kill your television or watch it with an analytical mind and not take their BS constantly. These criminals, as you say, because they are disgusting, big, fat criminals, they need to be out. And we, the 40 other percent that know that there's nothing going on, that these connections do not exist, and that we went to war for one thing, to make Halliburton rich and to make this fool George Bush. Ugh, don't even get me started.
But
on
what would you suggest we do where it concerns media control?
We need to turn off our TVs and really read independent news sources, listen to shows like yourself, turn off the TV and have a conversation. Like, family time? Where? I don't see it in America. Nobody talks to each other. There's no conversation. Democracy was founded on conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this country came from.
Right.
Let's talk. And now what do? We sit down for, you want to know how many hours a week the average American family watches TV? It's 50. 50 hours a week of TV. How come they're not talking for 40 hours a week? Well, because it's easy to sit down and just listen to their BS. And that's why 60% of America thinks Iraq and Al Qaeda are the same, and they're not.
But
upsetting.
But what is your suggestion to turn media control around? There are five companies now, or four, it may be down to four, that just about control, I believe the last figure was 70 or 75% of the flow of information in this country is controlled by four or five countries. 10 years ago, there were approximately 200 companies that controlled the same amount of information flow. What would you suggest, other than people, I mean, people sit down and talk to each other, that's fine, but how do we share information then that is critical or pertinent to what's going on?
That's very true. I think that even becomes a bigger issue when you start to talk about FCC laws and WTO and NAFTA and stuff like that.
Okay, so maybe an answer is to get into positions of political power in this country, people who will,
Bernie Sanders of Vermont.
Well, yeah,
or
someone like Dennis Kucinich, who has said, or Howard Dean, who has said that one of the first things he would do would be to decentralize media power.
Yes,
Kucinich the same way. Getting people like that into positions of political power and like-minded men and women is
absolutely,
that's the task.
Yes.
I don't think it's so much turning off televisions, although I think that's a good idea. I do think alternative information sources is a good idea, too. But it's in the political process. There's nothing that occurs in this country that is not political.
Very true.
And that I think that's where the energies have to be centered. Brian, thanks for this. Your first time calling?
Actually, I've only been listening for a week, and I'm very sad to hear that you're going off the air. But yeah, it's my first time calling.
All right. Well, maybe we'll talk to you again before we bail out, and we'll surface someplace after this gig. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate you checking in. I keep saying that. I hope it's true. We'll surface someplace after this gig. I do want to talk a little bit about what's going on in San Francisco. The a judge there postponed a hearing that was scheduled for today, I believe, until Friday. It was a challenge to the legality of the same-sex marriages that are going on in San Francisco. The challenge, of course, is brought by a couple of right-wing groups. One is the Campaign for California Families, and the other is the Alliance Defense Fund. They say they are trying to get this injunction to stop these marriages, quote, to protect marriage and uphold the state law, close quote. I still, for the life of me, don't understand how marriage is being threatened because gay people want to get married. So far there have been, what, 2,500, almost 3,000 couples who've gotten married. Has the universe collapsed yet? Has the Earth stopped spinning? Are we out of orbit? What in Christ's name has happened? You would think that the way the religious right is presenting this, and the Republicans are presenting this, that the very hinges of the Earth are about to rust and fall off. I don't know. We'll slip out of orbit if enough queers get married. How many queers does it take? We're up to around 3,000 couples in San Francisco now. What's the tipping point? Somebody needs to ask these right-wing groups. Okay, well, what is the is it 3,006? Is it 10,000? Where is the tipping point? Is God pissed off because these people are making commitments of love and dedication to each other? Is God wandering around heaven tonight, smashing things and saying, these dirty little bastards, I can't believe they're doing this. Is that what's happening? How about your marriage, Truth Seeker? Are you a heterosexual? I am. I'm married. So far, my marriage hasn't failed because the queers are getting married. I don't know. Maybe it'll happen tomorrow. Kathy, do you feel the pressure of the queers in San Francisco getting married?
I love you, honey.
Is it working on us? God, I hate these people. What is the point of these right-wing thugs? People are getting married. For God's sake, I thought that's what we were supposed to do. Get married! Oh, Jesus. I've got some more to say about this coming back. So if you don't want to hear it, I don't know. Go watch TV. But I hope you stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
I pronounce you 99 to life. Son, she's no lady, she's your wife. And I can't remember how I met her. Seems like she's always just been a hanging.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
How I ever thought that I just couldn't live without a woman's charm.
5 before the hour. Yeah, we have a break coming up here very quick. So this same-sex marriage thing out in California, which to me is just such a non-issue. I mean, oh, my God. But that's just to me. To most people in this country, it's just horrifying. The queers are getting married. The queers are getting married, and that's a threat to my marriage. Oh, my God. Like how? Like, please. Will some right-winger one of you lurkers, one of you booger eaters out there who listen to this program in the darkness and play with yourselves, will you please call in and tell me, tell this vast erudite audience who are not booger eaters, how same-sex marriage is a threat to you and your weird-looking old lady. Can you do that? Will one of you booger eaters call in? I mean, come on. I know you listen. I know you lurk. Booger eaters? Randy Thomason, executive director for the Campaign for California Families, said his group and the Alliance Defense Fund, sounds like a skinhead group, doesn't it, are going to court, quote, to protect marriage and uphold the state law. Protect marriage? How, you dumb bastard, is marriage threatened? Oh, Thomason says, state law of California says that marriage is only for a man and a woman. Not a man and a man. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. How many times do you have to tell you? You know, the renegade mayor of San Francisco is violating the state law. He's pretending to be a dictator. He's imposing his own values upon the citizenry, and he is really out of order. That's what this jackass said. The mayor of San Francisco said that marriage between same-sex couples is, his word, inevitable, and that anything less is, his words, fundamentally wrong. And he said he's going to fight hard for his position. He told CNN's American Morning this morning, quote, there's also a constitution in the state of California that I swore to uphold just 39 days ago. The bottom line is I took an oath of office and read that constitution, and nowhere in there did it say that I should discriminate. Yeah, well. All right, more of this when we come back. Why are we talking about this and not about the economy? Because this is the wedge issue. This is one of the wedge issues, if not the wedge issue, that these right-wing Republican screwballs are going to use to try to get George Bush elected president. So you got to arm yourself. You got to be prepared. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A federal prosecutor in a major terrorism case in Detroit has taken the rare step of suing Attorney General John Ashcroft, alleging the Justice Department interfered with the case, compromised a confidential informant, and exaggerated results in the war on terrorism. Assistant U.S. Attorney Richard Convertino of Detroit accused the Justice Department of gross mismanagement of the war on terrorism in a whistleblower lawsuit filed late Friday in federal court in Washington. The suit is the latest twist in the Bush administration's first major post-September 11th terrorism prosecution, which is now in danger of unraveling over allegations of prosecutorial misconduct. With Utah in the vanguard, about a dozen states are rebelling against George W. Bush's centerpiece education law, the No Child Left Behind Act, complaining it imposes costly new obligations without providing the money to carry them out. The Republican-controlled Utah House voted 64-8 last week not to comply with any provisions for which the federal government has not supplied enough money. The bill, which now goes to the Senate, represents the strongest position taken yet by lawmakers around the country. Many legislators are angry over what they see as a federal takeover of education that leaves states to pay the bill. Roadside bombs have claimed more American lives, killing three U.S. soldiers in separate attacks in Baghdad and Sunni Muslim areas to the north of the capital. At least six soldiers were injured in the attacks, one critically. In the biggest attack, one soldier from Task Force Iron Horse was killed and four were wounded in a roadside bombing in Bakuba. One of the wounded was critically injured and the other three were in guarded condition, the military said. The latest deaths brought to 541 the number of Americans who have died since George W. Bush launched the Iraq War March 20th. Most of the casualties have occurred since Bush declared an end to combat on May 1st. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A Hawaii state senator's proposal going before a Department of Health committee this week would make it easier for animal lovers to dine out with the pets they say are like family. Senator Fred Hemmings, a Republican, wants to see state health rules eased to give restaurants the option of allowing dogs into outdoor seating areas. His request faces a vote on Thursday by the state's Advisory Council on Food Protection Practices. If it is adopted, Hawaii will join 21 other states with similar pet-friendly dining rules. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you think that Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, and gang are just not corporate enough, not right-wing enough, not bizarre enough, not nasty enough, then you might make a good member of the Club for Growth. This is the goofy group that recently ran a TV ad declaring that the moderately progressive Democrat, Howard Dean, should, quote, take his tax-hiking, government-expanding, sushi-eating, Volvo-driving, New York Times-reading, body-piercing, Hollywood-loving, left-wing freak show back to Vermont, where it belongs. Whew, that's a lot of voters to offend in one breath. Even a lot of Republicans eat sushi, drive Volvos, read the New York Times, live in Vermont, and go to Hollywood movies. But the Club for Growth won't cut you any slack for being a Republican. They're after ideological anti-government purity. For example, CFG hates Republicans who dare to question George W.'s tax giveaway to the rich. And they've singled out the maverick conservative Senator John McCain for retribution, saying they'll recruit a far-right winger to oppose him in this year's Republican primary. How loopy are they? CFG's founder, Steve Moore, wants to shut down the education, commerce, labor, and agriculture departments. He calls senior citizens, who weathered the Depression and fought World War II, the most selfish group in America today. And he's warned that CFG will work to defeat any Republican who supports any tax increase for any purpose, declaring, if you're a Republican, you aren't allowed to vote for taxes. They enthusiastically embrace George W., calling him Reagan's third term. Interesting.
This smaller government clique, funded by Wall Street executives, embraces the two presidents who've done the most in the past 30 years to plunge America into a sea of red ink, increase the size of government, and expand the power of oppressive federal agencies to intrude into our private lives. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe that's what they mean by growth.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, the same-sex marriage thing that has been doing land office business out in San Francisco, according to CNN earlier today, about 2,500 couples have been married, gay couples, since Thursday. On Monday alone, 825 couples lined up in a chilling rain. The mayor there said the marriages would continue until a court stops them. And of course, I'm asking the ridiculous question, the obvious question, to the fanatics in the society, the religious bigots, the brain-twisted Republicans, the soul-dead, wife-beating males, whether they're white, black, or Latino in this country, that it freaks you out, doesn't it? That gays are getting married. I don't get this. This is another one of those issues I don't get. There's not a heterosexual male in America that doesn't just love to see X-rated porn videos of naked women doing each other, right? But if you take it out of the porn video context, and two women decide to get married and raise children together. Oh, God, all of a sudden, that's just horrifying. Oh, Jesus. It's insane. It's just another right-wing insane thing. The Christians and I guess Jews, Orthodox Jews, I don't even know. It's the Jewish Bible that lays all this crap out. If it was so important to Brother Jesus, why didn't Jesus say something about it? If it was so damned important, you know, the 12 disciples, how many of them were gay? Oh, my God. But these religious freaks, these Christians who borrow from somebody else's religious script, somebody else's creation mythology, they just reach their bloody hands into the Jewish Bible and steal whatever they want to steal. My God, just because some freakish Jewish priest 5,000 years ago said something, and a man shall not lay with a man. Oh, give me a break. Doesn't say a woman shouldn't lay with a woman. I hate it. It's another one of those issues. So all these right-wing freaks, these Republicans, these Christians, these people who are going to make this an issue. Well, you know, John Kerry. Oh, you know, Kerry. He comes from Massachusetts. You know what their Supreme Court just ruled? The sick bastards ruled that people can't be discriminated against because who they are. I'm not voting for Kerry. He's a queer lover. What is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you people? Jesus, do you ever give it a rest? Do you ever kick back and smoke a joint or watch a movie or get naked and mess around with your partner and just let all this stuff go? What the hell do you care? Whether a couple of men or a couple of women want to get married. Oh, my God. Is your life that fouled up? You know something, you bigots? On your deathbed, if you have a chance, if y'all don't die of a massive stroke or a heart attack or a bullet or a car wreck when your SUV rolls over on top of you, if you do have one of those Hollywood deathbed moments, are you going to lay there, you dumbass, and say, gee, I hate to die. I wish I had more time so I could hate the queers just a little bit longer. I wish I had more time alive so I could sign one more petition to keep the queers from getting married. What is wrong with you? Oh, my God. The mayor of San Francisco, when told what this little dribblehead said, yeah, we're trying to protect marriage. The mayor said, he laughed politely and said he doesn't see the world with the same set of eyes that dribblehead sees the world. The mayor said, I see a world that I saw over the course of this weekend where people were literally coming together because they have been in a loving relationship for decade after decade, and they want the same privileges and rights and obligations that were extended to my wife and I. The mayor said, that's the kind of world I want to live in, the mayor said. That's the kind of world that I think the Constitution of the State of California, for that matter, the U.S. Constitution, provides and protects. Oh, my God. How long ago was it when the religious, the Christian bigots in this country were saying, don't let the whites marry the niggers, oh, my God! Whites and niggers getting married, it'll destroy marriage. It'll bring the wrath of Jesus down on them. How long ago was it? Hell, that was in my lifetime. That was in your lifetime, True Seeker. If you were born since 1962, that's in your lifetime. I remember when the state of Virginia finally removed their miscegenation laws from the books, and it wasn't that long ago. And what has happened to the families in Virginia? Have they collapsed because whites and blacks now marry each other and love each other and make babies? You religious bigots, God, I hate you with a depth of contempt that I never thought possible. I never thought. That's one thing the Christian right has taught me, how to hate. This was on Democratic Underground, one of the forums there. Kevin sent it to me. He said, I didn't write this, but it's fairly funny nonetheless. Actually, he writes, it's pathetic that with so many problems these days, terrorism, the Iraq disaster, the poor economy, 44 million Americans without health insurance, homelessness, poverty rising, yada, 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 Republican leaders think the most important thing they can do is stop gay people from getting married. Now, here's what was posted at DU. I like this. Why the gay marriage issue is so important. We all saw what happened on 9/11/2001 when 19 gay men hijacked planes and flew them into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. These gay terrorists, supported by an international gay network, threaten our very existence. We must fight this scourge by any means necessary. Why, each time you buy a shirt that costs more than $50, you're supporting this international gay network. The two most important issues before us today are gay marriage and steroids in sports. These issues go to the very fabric of our soul as a nation. But what we really need to investigate is steroids among gays. Have you seen some of those guys? They are huge. Not that I spend a lot of time gawking at the gym, mind you. It's just that sometimes I accidentally catch a glimpse of a young, smooth, well-muscled man and find it intriguing. Which is, of course, why we must stamp out homosexuality. If it were easy and acceptable for someone to be gay, then there would be no reason for me not to caress the young man's firm, round buttocks. But I digress. Marriage is a strictly Christian concept. Even though its history predates the birth of Christ, but never mind, nations that do not support Christian marriages will fail, which is odd when you consider how the majority of nations in the world are not Christian. They still have marriages, and yet they continue to flourish. Although it is hard to find a culture that has lasted a long time that is not a Christian nation, I mean other than China or Japan or India or most of the nations of Africa, other than them, you can't give an example, can you? We must keep this holy sacrament pure, even though most Christians don't consider it a sacrament. But still, the reasons are clear. Two people get married in order to have children. So only heterosexuals should be able to get married. Of course, some people are sterile, but let's not dash their hopes. Also, if a woman is past menopause, then she should probably be allowed to get married, because otherwise people would have to get, like, you know, a fertility test or something in order to get married first, and that would be a pain in the ass or someplace on the anatomy. There are many examples of how marriage is best for our society and why we must keep it pure. Just look at our last two presidents. Bill Clinton's mom was single for much of his childhood, so he ended up having to study hard enough to be a Rhodes Scholar in order to be president. George W. Bush's parents remained married, even through the husband's frequent affairs. And so not only did he not have to study hard, Georgie, he didn't even need to get the most votes when he ran for president. See the advantage people get when they're married? And it is that advantage that we must withhold from gay people, because that's what this country is all about. Withholding advantages from people we don't like. That's an irrefutable argument. And if you don't agree with me, then you are infringing on my right to be a bigot. Not to mention the fact that you are committing treason. From Democratic Underground, one of their forums there. Great site. Check it out. Thanks, Kevin, for sending that in to me. I guess that should have been Uncle Mike's story corner, but what the hell. Ray is calling from New Haven, Connecticut. Ray, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Mike. We've spoken once before.
I seem to remember. Aren't you a member of the clergy?
That's right.
There you go.
And I'm also a father of 9 children.
Oh, there you go.
Christian, United Methodist, retired clergy, but I've also been retired a while and worked in the IT field, and I've merged the two in a kind of ministry of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about that because this issue is dear to me. One of my 9 children is gay, but even before I learned that she was, I was committed to this issue. And I think secular liberals like yourself really need to lean on some people like myself who knows the Christian community. You know a lot about it, but from the outside. From the inside, I can tell you that, first of all, I've designed a section of my website specifically on this issue, and I urge all your listeners who are interested in the issue to write this down. The specific page is liberalslikechrist.org/.
Yeah, liberalslikechrist.org. That's the website. That's where they can start.
That's the main, the portal.
And then slash?
Slash gay challenge.
Gay challenge.
One word.
Okay.
All right. Now, on that page, I point out that not only did Christ not attack or have any problems with any gay person that we know of in his 3 years
mm-hmm.
Of public life,
mm-hmm.
but he did have a lot of problems with clergymen, with people like the religious right of our day. In fact, most of the Gospels are all about his problems with the religious right of his time.
That's true. Ray, can I get you to hold a second?
Sure.
All right, I will come right back to you. We have a break here. We're talking with Ray. Liberalslikechrist.org is his website. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come this far. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I'll take you just the way you are.
Welcome and good evening. Soon one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush.
Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy.
You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, we're talking about the gay marriage issue, specifically what is occurring out in California. I got an email from Spitfire, who sent me a link. It's www.authenticity.com, only between the... spell it this way, A-U-T-H-E-N-T-I dash city, authenticity, authenticity, but with a dash right before the last four letters, city.com. Check it out. I checked it out during the break. Some of the photographs there are very moving. Authenticity.com, only put a dash between, right before the city part of the word authenticity. You got it? Okay. Now, while you're doing that, we're talking with... Ray, who is a clergyman from New Haven, Connecticut. We're talking about the gay marriage thing. Pick it up where you were, Ray, if you would.
Yes. Well, actually, I have a whole page about clergy sins. It's
liberalslikechrist.org/clergysins that people could explore, where I point out, for example, that Jesus had roughly 89 occasions, I think, where he reprimanded clergy or pointed out the sins of clergy. So he was very much involved, very much concerned about that. And there's tremendous material in the Gospels for gays and their advocates, friends like ourselves, to enable them to turn the tables on the clergy. Now, all these clergy who want to attack gays, there's no grounds for it as Christians, but there's plenty of grounds for gays and for women who want to protect their right to choose to attack the clergy and point out the faults of the clergy that Jesus pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I on this page I pointed out before, the one that says Gay Challenge, I point out that the clergy, Christian clergy, have a horrendous record when it comes to the way Jews were treated in Germany, and specifically, a horrendous record on the way American natives were treated by the Christian who came here to, and discovered and converted, supposedly converted America.
Yeah, let's not forget the Christians from England who did the same thing to the Aborigines in Australia and the Maoris in New Zealand. And, of course, there's famous old Captain Cook who destroyed an entire Polynesian culture. It's awful. I could never understand that.
Well, it's up to gays and women. It's another issue of mine. I'm very much pro-choice and argue on my site for what I call the / Christian choice. You'll see that I urge Christians to choose choice and to defend choice and to do it conscientiously and with pride as Christians.
What's the site again, Ray?
That one is liberalslikechrist.org/Christian choice.
Okay, so you've got a bunch of pages there, but the main page is liberalslikechrist.org. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Now,
good.
Actually, I've added another site since then that's called JesusNoRepublican.org.
JesusNoRepublican.org.
Right. And that's a separate site.
I'll have to check that one out tonight when I get home.
Indeed.
that sounds like a good one to me.
It is pretty powerful, and it points out all kinds of reasons why Christians, if they don't want to vote Democratic, fine, but they have no reason to vote Republican either.
I hear that.
Jesus was certainly no Republican. And
not by any definition I could ever come up with, that's for sure. Ray, I have to leave it there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in.
Hey, you keep up the good work, and I'm going to be trying to do my best to encourage others to take up take you up on another program.
Thank you, Ray. All right, you have a nice evening, sir. I appreciate it.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new report shines some light on the business of selling fish and coral for home aquariums. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The United Nations Environment Program has conducted a comprehensive study of the worldwide trade in aquarium fish and other marine creatures. The report is called From Ocean to Aquarium, and the UN says it's the first of its kind. The report gives estimates of how many fish are caught and sold, and which species are most popular, and how they're shipped to market. Colette Wabnitz is a marine biologist, and she worked on the report. Wabnitz says the global trade in fish, coral, and other marine animals is worth as much as $300 million a year. Two of the most popular species are clown anemone fish and blue-green damselfish, but the business really covers more than 2,000 different species. Wabnitz says most aquarium fish come from Southeast Asia, and a lot are collected in ways that destroy the coral reefs where they live. In some cases, fishermen use explosives or cyanide to stun fish and bring them to the surface. Wabnitz says a lot of fish suffer when they're shipped to market, and a large percentage die in the midst of transport.
If the transport is really long, and then they sit around for ages at different airports, then stress is going to be quite high, and then the oxygen concentrations is going to decrease, so the fish are going to be even more stressed, and they can die.
Wabnitz says there is some good news. She says more and more people in the aquarium fish business are adopting practices that are better for the environment and better for fish. A group called the Marine Aquarium Council now certifies fish collectors who do not harm reefs and who do follow safe shipping and handling practices. Wabnitz encourages aquarium owners who are shopping for fish to look for the certification from the Marine Aquarium Council. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Crazy love. I don't want no part of your love. I don't want no part of this crazy love.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
I don't want no part of this crazy love. I don't want no part of your love. I don't want no part.
27 before the hour, our Bangkok, Thailand bureau chief Chris just emailed in. Mike, you have to understand that once you let gays marry, what's next? Pretty soon you'll have people of different races getting married. Then people who aren't first cousins getting married. Then men prevented from taking more than one wife. And then Negroes playing in the major leagues. And then women voting. And then Catholics in public office. And then an end to slavery. And then lions laying down with lambs. Oh, the humanity. Chris, eating boogers in Bangkok. Thank you, Chris. I wonder what time it is. It's tomorrow in Bangkok, right? Yeah. So that's our the only bureau chief that I'm aware of that we have who operates in the future. We've got listeners. I mean, we have listeners in Australia, New Zealand, and Japan. But I think Chris is the only bureau chief who lives in the future, operates in the future. That's pretty scary, you know, when you stop to think about it. Spitfire, speaking of Spitfire, is calling from Anaheim. Hey, Spitfire.
Hey. Ah, that is really, you know, last caller, Ray, he posts on your message board, too.
Oh, does he?
Yes, he does.
Well, I should know that.
Well.
I should know that, but for some reason I didn't until you just said it. Kathy is nodding her head. She spends more time monitoring. See, I'm not a monitor on the board. Kathy is.
Right.
And a lot of times I should go there, and I don't. And mea culpa.
Oh, it's an excellent website he's got. Speaking of the gay marriage thing, image gallery that was sent.
Yeah.
That was sent by somebody else. Let me see. I just got a PM from him from the message board.
Oh, okay, but that's cool. That's a great site, authenticity.org with a dash.
Yes.
Right before the last four letters, city.
Yeah, one of the things that really got me about it was there's a thing there that would just drive the religious right just up the walls and through the ceiling and everything else. Apparently, they have been having tours that they have been having grade school children going there to watch history in the making. So you can just imagine the religious
children?
Right.
Children? Oh, my God!
Squares.
No!
Children.
No!
Oh, can you imagine?
Children watching people going through marriage ceremonies, people heretofore deny. Oh, my God, this can only I don't know. It's going to bring the downfall of the republic. The empire.
Looking at that, I knew you'd have fun with that.
The empire is finished. I don't get the Spitfire. Like I said the other night, once I got past my own weird Midwestern growing up kind of gay bashing and then homophobia. Once I got past all that, I could never figure this one out.
Yeah, neither could I. But then I'm the type of person that has friends of all persuasion.
Well, sure.
I lived in Hollywood for a while. Matter of fact, on Valentine's Day, I actually got a Valentine from somebody that I know that's gay.
Yeah.
Even though I'm straight, you know, but, you know, I mean, they just love me because of the fact that I'm so open to anything, you know. I mean, I accept everybody as being, you know, male, female. I mean, I've worked hard on the ERA. I've done, you know, male, female. You got two arms, two legs, even if you've had your arms and legs blown off. You're still equal.
Yeah, I've tried. That's been the major struggle in my life is to approach or acknowledge or accept people as they, you know, namaste, to honor the spirit inside of them, to recognize and honor that before I see a skin color or sexual orientation or gender or religion or lack thereof. And it's a struggle. I'm not there. I struggle with this every day. And to me, it's the one thing I would like to accomplish if I have my moment on my deathbed, you know, where I'm laying there and I get to contemplate as I'm about to step into the great abyss. I'd like to be able to say, well, you know, I think I finally got it. The ability to honor and acknowledge the spiritual center of other people rather than the external components of that. And I don't know if I'll ever make it or not. It just seems like a hell of a it's a rough struggle. It really is.
Well, we got another little project going on involving religion.
Yeah.
On the message board, there's links all over the place that we put in the particular thread. Ben came up with a neat idea.
Yeah.
We've contacted just about every major religion, and we want them to toll. It's basically the Iraqi war, you know, tolling the cost. Basically, every single solitary church everywhere. And people on the air can get involved in this, too. Contact your local churches. Have them ring a bell, one ring for every soldier who died, and a reading of their names between each bell toll.
That will be a long list.
And do it on
list.
The anniversary of the attack.
That will be a long list, and I would be interested to find out, you folks who are organizing this, I'd be interested to find out how many congregations respond. I will I can't guarantee anything, but I would be willing to bet that there would be very few churches who are members of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Oh, they would do it if you just do it for American soldiers who died.
No, even that, because they would see it as some sort of a communist plot to undermine the glorious leadership of that saved Christian George W. Bush. No, I'm talking about the Southern Baptist Convention.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the largest Protestant organization in America.
Oh, well, you know, if you present it properly, I've been presenting it as though honoring our honored war dead.
Well, you might be able to snare a couple of them, but as soon as they think to themselves, wait a second, is this anti-war? God loves war, didn't he? Didn't he tell Joshua to cross the Jordan River and go into Canaan and kill everybody?
Right.
God loves war.
Well, the Pope came out against it, and I contacted the Vatican.
Oh, he's a Catholic.
I know. I contacted the office within the Vatican and got a reply back, and they're going to see about trying to put together a list of everybody who died.
That's a great idea, and Spitfire, keep working on it. Keep us posted, okay?
Sure.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, the Catholic Pope has already come out very unequivocally against the attack on Iraq. He was against the bombing of Yugoslavia, you know. But that, I don't know. I think what Spitfire and Ben are doing is a great idea, and I wish I owned a church. Do you own churches, Kathy? No, I wish I were connected to a church so, you know, I could prevail upon the spiritual leader of that church to ring the bell 530 times. If you ring the bell and say a name and you do 1 minute, that's not that long. It's 530 minutes, right? That's only 9 hours of constant ringing and names. Right? Dawn is calling from Portland, Oregon. Hey, Dawn.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Oh, getting more depressed every day. I'm really going to miss you.
We'll surface someplace. Don't lose the faith.
After your the way you demolish those guys on Fox News, I have no doubt.
Yeah, someplace will turn up. I hope.
Well, I heard one today that I just had to pass along about this, so... gay marriage issue that I just think you're going to love it.
All right.
Listen to one of the hate mongers happened to have him on. One of the callers, serious as a heart attack now, there was no tongue-in-cheek on this. He said the reason why we have to be against gay marriage was because if we're not, then it'll give the radical Islam one more reason to hate the decadent United States.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, Jerry Falwell... made it very clear, I think it was Falwell, who made it clear that the reason that the World Trade Center was attacked was because of gays and lesbians and secular humanists. And as a matter of fact...
And Wiccans and
indulge me here, just us. Indulge me just a second. Let me play this. Go ahead, Kathy.
I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who tried to secularize America, I... point the thing in their face and say, you helped this happen.
Jerry Falwell is going to burn in a special room in hell that Satan is preparing for him that will have the hottest fire and the most intense coals. And can you imagine a person, Dawn, who claims to be a missionary of Christ making a statement like that?
Yes, I can, Mike. I grew up in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it. I got you.
I spent my formative years of my adolescence in a small town in Oklahoma.
Okay, say no more.
Where I was trying to explain my reasons for not accepting, not believing. And there's no thinking. Well, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to burn in hell.
Yeah.
And there's no thought. There's no, wondering, well, didn't Jesus care for the poor? Isn't that supposed to be the purpose of not going to church and showing off your jewelry and your
right.
your new cars and your fancy clothes and, all of the, it's like you see on TV and you look at these magnificent buildings and all of these wonderful trappings and all these people who are publicly displaying their faith and their prayers and everything, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, you just don't understand that this is not every one of these, they might think that they're believing, but this is not what this faith is supposed to be about.
That's true. And I don't know how stupid these people can be. The few times that Christ spoke, he spoke out against this sort of stuff.
It's not supposed to be in public.
I know. Public prayer. Right. Go into your closet and pray quietly. Public displays of wealth are verboten or forbidden or looked upon by Jesus as being sinful. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there is my church. These mega churches, God, we have them here in Atlanta, in the Georgia in Atlanta area, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25,000 member churches. That's not a church. That's some kind of a, I don't know. It's
ostentatious display of look at us. Aren't we pious? Aren't we wonderful?
That's what it is.
And, you know, I might burn in hell. I really, you know, my father is a lapsed Catholic.
Uh-huh.
And his belief in it was that do whatever the heck you want during the week, go to confession, confess all your sins,
right.
Go back out, and you can go do it all over again.
Well, the Catholics were brilliant when they set up the Roman Church because they understood human nature. You know, we do like to do what they call, what religionists call sin, which is really just kind of, I don't know, connecting with our baser nature. So the Catholics were smart enough to say, okay, look, go ahead and sin. Go to confession on Wednesday and get into church on Sunday, and everything will be fine. You know, burn a candle, say some...
something in the collection box
say
so we can build our fabulous churches.
You're our...
My trick on it is you know, I mean, I don't know, you've had people have these near-death experiences. When you get into an accident, time just kind of slows down. Really.
I have one of those every night right before I go on the air here. Trust me.
Well, in that instant, I'll say, oh, Jesus, forgive me for my sins, and I'll really believe it, and then away I go.
There you go. Dawn.
And then that way I don't have to deal with these people.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss you, Mike.
Well, we'll be back. Trust me, Dawn.
I firmly believe it.
Hey, thanks for checking in.
Okay.
All right, you have a nice evening. No, I'm not picking on Catholics. I think the Catholics are brilliant the way they set that up, you know. You know, I was a kid growing up in a Catholic neighborhood, Polish, mostly Polish, in Toledo, Ohio. There's some Italians, but they lived a few blocks over. Mostly Polish. And my little Polish boyfriends used to explain to me very patiently, well, you know, if you really want to make out with some of these really cool Polish girls, come on over here to St. Anthony's or St. Joseph's or St. Teresa's or St. Anne's. You know, there was a parish every 20 feet. Come on over here and hang out on the steps because, you know, on Wednesday night, because, you know, that's when we all go to confession. And when the girls come out after confession, man, they're ready to go make out again. And it was true. It was true. Bless their hearts. John is calling from Riverside, California. Hey, John.
Getting back to your callers on, the preacher, and then can't believe it. There's a liberal in Anaheim. I'm shocked at that.
right. Well,
you know, getting back to that, you know, and all this thing with religion. I became an atheist 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because I'm an atheist doesn't mean that I'm not spiritual.
Oh, absolutely. And that's my point exactly. I condemn all religion. I celebrate all spirituality.
Exactly. You know, and then I see all of these bumper stickers on these cars all plastered all over the place. You know, Jesus this, Jesus that. And I think to myself, who's this Jesus cat and why isn't immigration after him?
Yeah, really. I know. Where's his papers? Where's his green card?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well.
But the reason for my calling was to congratulate you on ripping those monkeys apart on Fox. You know, you got to leave it to those faux patriots to, you know, just because there's a liberal, they think you're a liberal.
Without any heavy exercise, my cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to iamericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Ring them bells, St. Peter, where the fall winds blow. Ring them bells with an iron hand so the people will know. Oh, it's rush hour now on the wheel and the plow. And the sun is a-going down upon the sacred cow.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Ring them bells so the world will know that God is one. For the shepherd is asleep where the willows weep. And the mountains are filled with lost sheep. Ring them bells.
That would be a good song for Ben and Spitfire's righteous idea, having clergy ring the bells for the dead in Iraq on the anniversary of the U.S. invasion next month, and members of the congregation read the names. Oops! Rob in Taiwan. Is Rob our bureau chief in Taiwan? Probably. He says, hey, I'm in the future too. And just to let you know, tomorrow is a nice sunny day. I always listen to you on my lunch hour. Keep giving them hell. Rob in Taiwan. I'm sorry, Rob. Our Bangkok bureau chief got the flash there about being in the future. But Rob is right. He's in the future, too. John, in Riverside, California, you got about a minute, pal.
I forgot where we were at.
I do, too. I have no idea.
It's that over 40 thing, you know, the memory goes.
It goes very fast.
Yeah. But you were talking about, these faux patriots on Fox. But, you know, what is it with them? They can't handle dissent. That's the highest level of patriotism any American can show.
Yeah, but they're not patriots. They're cowards. And cowards can't handle a dissent. They can't handle a countervailing a position. They can't handle a discussion. I don't think they're patriots. I never have.
That's why I call them faux patriots.
Yeah. They're absolute.
Like faux news.
Yeah, right. They're absolute cowards. Kasich is unbelievable. I for some reason I thought he would. I've never seen his program. I know he had the program. I'd never seen it, but I thought, well, maybe he would. You know, he might want to play, but he didn't want to play. What he wanted to do was be a real prick, and he succeeded. John, I got to leave it there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in.
Well, thank you for your show, and I'm going to miss you when you're gone.
All right, sir. Take care. What? I can't say prick? Well, that's exactly what he was. Catherine Bay produced the program tonight. Robin Bittman's our announcer. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check out that website, MikeMalloy.com, all right? What the hell's taking you so long? Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. I'll see y'all tomorrow night. I hope. I really hope, unless saying prick gets me off the air. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush.